views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Welcome to Sovereign Mind Radio. Today is October 16th, and my name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host for Sovereign Minds here. I'm in the studio here today with Mike Contreras from Occupy Reading. I guess that's the proper title. And then also with Chandler. We can't forget our trusted soundboard operator. How you doing there, Chandler?
I'm very well. How are you, Mark?
Very good, very good. The fun never stops, as you know.
Always.
We're here at 1460 Free Fire Media, Shasta Redding, home of the Free Fire Media, KCNR, 1460. I think I already said that. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. And you can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Your country, your children, and your grandchildren need you to get involved now. What's it going to take to pry your butts up off the couch? How bad does it have to get before you start getting involved? This program wants to give you as many solutions as we can. We need to start educating ourselves on the issues. Start talking to your neighbors. Go to a Tea Party meeting or any other meeting that you want to go to. But get involved here. Check out the website and see what you can do to protect yourself and your family from big out of control government. If you'd like to ask questions, again, feel free to call the chat room. And let's see, where do we want to start here? I better get some housekeeping out of the way here. Reminders, let's see, Reading Tea Party every Monday night, 6 p.m. at 2570 Bonneview, Destiny Fellowship. This Monday, they will be talking about the water rights issues in Siskiyou County. And on Monday the 24th, I will be having a question and answer forum next about the topics of emergency preparedness for crisis, how to deal with inflation and deflation, just to name some of the other issues that, we're going to cover, redistricting and so forth. We stand for limited government, fiscal responsibility, and adherence to the Constitution. Chad, if you're listening out there, don't make me come over. You better get well or I'm going to have to come over and punch you. So with that, we'll go into our first quotes. If Congress has the right to issue paper money, it was given to them, and it doesn't have the right, by the way, according to the Constitution, it was given to them to be used by the government and not delegated to individuals or corporations. Now, that's Andrew Jackson, 1767 through 1845, and that was when he vetoed the bank bill of 1836. I'm going to set the tone for the topics. Here's another one. I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies. If the American people ever allow a private bank to control the issue of the currency, of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered. The issuing power should be taken away from the banks and restored to the people to whom it properly belongs. That was Thomas Jefferson. I got to say, he's my favorite. Here's George Washington. Paper money has had the effect in your state that it will ever have, to ruin commerce, to oppress the honest, and to open the door for every species of fraud and injustice. George Washington. So, with that, our self-reliant website of the week is dollarcollapse.com. It's a great website, and it has a list of recommended websites on there that are very good, a very complete list. I highly recommend that you go there and take a look at it. Okay, with that, Our special guest here is Mike Contreras from Occupy Reading. Maybe you can tell us about yourself, Mike, a little bit of your background, and why are you so concerned, and what are you and your organization doing, and what are your platforms? I know that's a pretty long...
Boy, that is a lot of questions. I'll do my best. First of all, one disclaimer. I am just a citizen, just like you, Mark. I don't represent Occupy Reading or any other group for that matter. I happened to get picked out of a crowd and talk to Sally Uripoza, I think, Rally Sally. And
yeah, I saw you, and then I realized who you were, and I thought, well, I better go down and see what Mike's doing.
Yeah, and just a disclaimer, Mark and I do know each other previously in a professional manner.
Correct.
So just to get that out there as well.
I wasn't going to mention it. I figured I'd leave that up to you because, you know, of the circumstances.
Sure.
So anyway.
Just in the interest of fair disclosure.
In the interest of honesty.
Absolutely.
I agree.
And so a little bit about myself. I'm 41 years old. I've lived in Reading for 5 years. I grew up in Fresno, California. The son of working class parents. My father was a carpet layer. My mom was a housewife. I went to Fresno State. Graduated with a degree in chemistry. I married. And
wow. So you're a Bulldog.
I'm a Bulldog. Fresno State. Go Bulldogs.
I went to Hanford High.
Okay.
Yeah. So
right in my backyard.
Yeah, absolutely. Interesting. So with that, I guess we could kind of start getting into the meat of the I don't know. I've got so many questions.
Put on boxing gloves. And...
oh, maybe 20 years ago. there's so many things to talk about, you know, and, you know, the thing that I see that we are really in common ground, it seems like, is the Fed and the banking, because for me, that is the root of all the evil. I mean, if we got rid of the Fed, instead of having everybody's wealth siphoned off to a bunch of private banks, we would all have a little more money to spend. We wouldn't be looking for jobs. We wouldn't have this global international corporation thing, conglomerate that's stifling competition. And so I think, you know, when I heard you start talking about that, I mean, I got kind of excited because, you know something, I want to find allies. We need to start getting together, get these big problems solved, and then go after some of these other problems, whether we disagree on them or not.
Absolutely. So. You know, one of the things I said to Sally, and first off, I have a lot of respect for members of the Tea Party. First of all, you're out there exercising your First Amendment rights, your right to peaceably assemble, and you're doing something. You're concerned.
Right.
You clearly you love this country, and you're willing to get up and speak up and do something about it to get us back to where we need to be. So my hat's off to the Tea Party. We're going to disagree on some points and some points of reference, but other than that, I think that, you know, we're all here for the same reason.
Well, that's what I see too. Is I get that's why I was getting kind of excited because I start seeing you guys going after the real issues, and when I see that, I get it. You know, it's like, okay, now we got something we can work on here because, you know, that is the big issue, and I think that the powers that be have been keeping everybody separate with their programs. When the Tea Party first started and we were just raw and green, the first thing that everybody tried to do was co-opt us. They were Tea Party guys, and as soon as they started seeing that we were starting to gain power, you know, we were first attacked by the left, the Democrats, if you will.
Absolutely.
And then we were attacked, you know, co-opted by the right, and it was amazing. And then I'm sitting here watching you guys when you get started, and I'm seeing the exact same thing.
We'll go through the same cycle. Every social movement has gone through those cycles. They try to co-opt you. They try to adopt you. They'll infiltrate you for sure, and all those things. It's part of keeping us divided.
That's exactly where we agree on completely. I mean, it's all about keeping everybody divided because then we quit looking at the bankers and we quit looking at the government and we quit looking at the corporations who are owned by the bankers.
Yeah.
So that is, man, that's great stuff. So, I mean, I get the one example I wrote down a bunch of notes here because I was actually putting a concrete form together, pouring for a patio. I kept running in and, you know, scratching a note down. I was listening to you on the radio this morning and it was really fun. But, you know, one of the things that we talk about this co-opting is Herman Cain, Tea Party candidate. Really? Yeah.
I heard a quote or read a quote the other day from Herman Cain in the Wall Street Journal that he basically said, he was talking about the occupiers, the Occupy Wall Street movement, and he said something to the effect of, you know, if you're not rich or if you don't have a job, you know, don't blame the big banks, blame yourself.
Yeah, you know, I'm totally for personal responsibility.
Absolutely.
And I think you are too. But you know, what he's doing is he's not going to he's not going to the problem,
sure.
which is, you know, printing money out of thin air.
Well, he's a politician.
Yeah, exactly. He's also an ex Federal Reserve chairman.
Oh, okay. Didn't know that.
Yeah. Which
makes sense. He's got buddies that are counting on him.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. It's so interesting because, I hear this thing, Herman Cain, Tea Party candidate. And I'm thinking, really? Well, if anybody knows me at all, they know my feelings about the Federal Reserve. And as soon as I see that this guy was a former chairman of the Federal Reserve in Kansas City, I mean, I'm thinking Tea Party candidate, not, you know, I mm-hmm. mean, but that's what they do. They co-opt the group so they can say I'm this or I'm that. And then the other side's going, Herman Cain, that guy's a jerk. He's a Tea Party guy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting over here going, well, I think he's a jerk too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. They're all politicians, and there's, you know, 99% of them aren't, you know, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them.
That's my point. But what's interesting is that anytime there's a threat to the banking establishment, then they get zero press or nothing but bad
absolutely.
Press.
Absolutely.
I mean, look at Ron Paul. This guy has been saying we got to get rid of the Fed for 40 years.
He's talked about fiat money for how long?
Ah, man. I mean, I met forever. This guy in 1984 down on the peninsula, and I got a signed copy in my office. I'll show it to you. It's called a book he wrote called Freedom Under Siege. And I mean, you know, it's just amazing. He's Tea Party grassroots, but it's like you'd think Fox would love this guy.
No, he's not the establishment. He's not going to play ball, and so they're not going to look at him favorably. They're not going to show him favorably.
Bingo. With that, we got to go to a break here. We'll be back in just a few minutes. This is KCNR 1460. I'm here with Mike Contreras. This is home of the Free Fire Media.
Let's sell it.
Yeehaw! If you have something you no longer need and having a yard sale, garage sale, or event, join us for Let's Sell It with Ernie and Dave, your radio flea market, every Saturday, 7 to 8 a.m., right here at KCNR 1460 a.m. There is no cost to you. That's right. Recycle your no longer needed items.
Yeah, get rid of it right here on the air. Give us a call Saturday mornings, 7 to 8 a.m., 605-4567.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
Joining the revolution at Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms is here to provide the finest names in weapons, ammunition, optics, and accessories. We also offer repairs and custom gunsmithing. Bastiani Arms is pleased to announce that we now have in stock the best and largest selection of off-list AR low receivers in the North State. Looking for instruction in hunter safety, concealed carry, or Florida's concealed carry class? Bastiani Arms provides the finest instruction with our NRA-trained instructors. Come check out our in-store product and enjoy the friendly, helpful, and knowledgeable service you'll get with each and every visit. Don't forget to ask Bastiani Arms about their 90-day layaway for your convenience. If you want the best in weapons, service, and shooting supplies, then Bastiani Arms should be your first stop. Satisfaction guaranteed. Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur Lane, open Tuesdays through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Or call us at 222-8222.
Some kind of way out of here, say the joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief.
Wow, I could listen to that one for a little while. That was the great Jimi Hendrix, along the Watchtower. Pretty appropriate.
Absolutely. See, we have more in common than you think, Mark. I know. We both love great music.
It's great. Yeah. I mean, and, you know, we're talking on the break here. So, I mean, we need to record some of this stuff because we know a lot about the same stuff that doesn't seem to be getting mainstream press. I mean, Iceland. Let's talk about Iceland. Let's kind of talk about what we just talked about. You know, I mean, here, what happened in Iceland? I mean, maybe you can recap for us, Mike.
Great story that's not getting any press. Of course, you could Google it and you could find information about it. But what basically happened in Iceland is the same thing that's going on all over Europe. Austerity measures, basically, you know, the big banks and large corporations, in this case it was, you know, the three big banks in Iceland that collapsed the economy in Iceland. And so the IMF steps in, of course, and what they tell the people of Iceland is that you have to submit to our measures of what's going to fix this, which is basically all Icelandic citizens pony up money every month and pay off the huge debt that the three big banks created. And the people in Iceland said, no way. Yeah. We're not going to have it. They stepped up. They threw their government out. They actually rewrote their constitution.
You know, that's great stuff, and nobody talks about it. And it just made me think of a quote. If I ever send you an email, you'll see it. It's on every one I send out, and it's from John Adams. And he says there's two ways to conquer a nation. One is by a sword, and the other is through debt. And that's what this is about. When they talk about austerity, they're talking about bleeding the citizens of their wealth, basically, and making them slaves. Because there's several ways. I mean, you can be a slave. I mean, it's not like the old plantations in
the
South.
Haiti.
Yeah, I mean, you can be a slave to debt. If you know, the definition of slavery is working and not keeping the benefit of your labor, and you're a vassal to whoever does keep your labor. And that's what this is all about. These bankers are trying to set up a worldwide plantation basically that blurs all lines. Mm-hmm. And that's my opinion on that's why, you know, John Adams, again, all the confusion, all the perplexities derives not from want of honor or virtue in our Constitution or Confederation, but from downright ignorance of coin, credit, and circulation, banking. See, the founding fathers knew about banking, and that's why they set up a system where the Constitution said Congress had the power to coin money and regulate the value thereof, not print money. And I can give you quote after quote after quote where they said having a central bank, it would steal all of our property and we'd end up homeless.
Absolutely. They were well aware and, you know, very fearful of large multinational corporations. And
that's what springs out of it. Because if you have this bank that can just, you know, print money and
you create wealth out of thin air.
You create wealth out of thin air. What that does is that steals all the labor from the honest people. So what happens is that's why they have these big corporations, these big conglomerates, is because, you know, you got the honest people out there working and trying to save, and these guys are stealing it by devaluing the currency and their savings. And I got a quote here from, we've got all the guys in the government following Keynesian economics, and I got a quote here from John Maynard Keynes, who was the father of Keynesian economics, and, you know, nobody seems to want this quote to come up to the surface. It says, "By this means, the government may secretly and unobserved confiscate the wealth of the people," talking about inflation, "and not one man in a million will detect the theft." That's John Maynard Keynes, the father of Keynesian economics, which our nation now is enduring, and that's from his book Economic Consequences of Peace in 1920. So, you know, if these guys have studied Keynesianism, I guess they only studied the parts they liked.
Well, and they're selling all the rest of us, you know, a charade. They're telling us one thing, you know, and don't look over here while this
right.
other stuff is going
Seems
on.
Seems like,
you know,
there's a lot of people on the payroll up there. We got Terry on line one. Terry, you got a question for us?
I do. You know, charade is a good point. But I've got a question. You know, the Federal Reserve definitely has to go. I mean, that's my own opinion as a citizen. And I believe you guys think the same way. But you know what? Without the Constitution, the Federal Reserve is a moot point. So my question is to the guest is, do you believe that the Constitution is a living document or the law of the land? And I'll just...
Yes.
I'm waiting to hear.
Absolutely. No, I'm not, by bringing up the story about Iceland, I'm not suggesting that we do away with our Constitution, rewrite a Constitution, nothing like that.
No, that's not my question.
Okay.
My question is, do you believe that the Constitution is the law of the land or a living document?
I think what he's asking is, can the principles of the Constitution be remolded and changed depending on who the legislature is? And I'll clarify the question even further. In other words, there's certain principles in the Constitution like freedom of speech, freedom of different freedoms, and it's set up to enumerate the powers to the people who are governing. To limit the government, absolutely. Do you guys believe, because we've heard this a lot in the schools, that can we change those principles
principles to fit who's ever, you know, what if they, in other words, if they coerce the general public into giving up our freedom, do you think that works with a living constitution, I guess is what I was trying to say. Boy, is that right?
That's a lengthy question. I will say that I do believe that the Constitution is the absolute law of the land, and that our founding fathers did a great job in writing that document. The whole living document question, I'm not too clear about what you're getting at with that. But
okay, the question I'm getting at, I'm sorry that I'm not being as clear as I should be. The Constitution, the way it's written, is the law of the land. I mean, that's like
agreed.
My belief. As far as the Federal Reserve or anything else, everything falls in behind the fact that we need to adhere to the Constitution. Do you believe that we need to adhere to the Constitution, or that the Constitution was made back in 1770, six, and it was a situation to where it was something that was not exactly what we need now, that there needs to be a lot of changes to it, that it doesn't really fit things the way they are now? Or do you believe that we should adhere just totally to the Constitution?
I think we should adhere
to
the
Constitution. I probably got the date wrong.
Okay, I should adhere. I would say that I believe, I can't speak for anybody else, but I believe that we should adhere to the Constitution. And when the Constitution doesn't speak to what is going on today or in the past, and this has happened several times, there are amendments to the Constitution, and that is the process, the legal means by which we add to that document, which I believe is the law of the land.
Well, let me weigh in here, because here's a perfect example of the problem. Okay, in 1913 they had to change the Constitution, and they circumvented the original intent of the Constitution. It was completely understood that we don't need a central bank. They threw it out several different times to issue our currency, and it was passed in a underhanded way. If you go back and research it, passed on Christmas Eve. I mean, a bunch of different stuff. And they changed the Constitution, also amended it to show that we could have a direct tax. Where prior to that, it had to be apportioned among the states. That's been the amendment process, and technically, we're supposed to follow that. But did they circumvent the original intent? Absolutely. So I think the question is, do we want to follow the Constitution as it's intended, the meaning, the intent of it, or are we going to keep modifying it?
That sounds like a great question for a constitutional law professor, which I am not. So we're getting into minutia there for me.
Yeah,
I wish
okay.
I could answer
well,
better.
I think you just try to get the position of the group, and it sounds like...
Which, again, I don't speak for, but
right.
You know, I believe that I'm probably pretty well aligned with most of the people that you would call occupiers. And I believe that the ones that I have spoken to also believe that the Constitution is the law of land. Whether that needs to be adjusted for circumstances like that, where the Constitution was circumvented to create
right.
amendments or changes.
Well, if you look at that, you know, I mean, when they amended it, they gave us the direct tax and they gave us the bank at the same time by the same people. Mm-hmm. And that completely now twisted the Constitution from what it should have been. And that is the start of the problems. You know, I mean, when you start looking into that,
okay.
But we could probably talk about that for quite some time. I guess we'll move on. Well, unless you got something else, Terry.
No, that's fine. Thank you.
All right, cool. Thanks for calling in, Terry. Okay, so, you know, that's where we start getting into the minutia. But I think that's where we've got to go
question.
Back to, you know, to go back and examine that. Because, you know, I think what people are afraid of is that because of the redistribution ability that the direct tax gave them, because the power to tax is the power to destroy, what that does is that gives them the ability to call the winners and the losers. If you're on the winning side of that game one year, hey, great. Hey, I'm the recipient of the distribution, but you
sure.
might be on the losing side of that redistribution next year, and that's why a direct tax, I think, should be abolished. That makes sense.
It does make sense. I would say there's much more fair ways, and you know, you as an accountant would know much more about this than I would, but to tax fairly.
Well,
people recommend
yeah.
you know, a flat tax. Everybody pay 20% or something
I
like that.
I think a flat tax won't work, because here's the problem. Can you tax a business loss?
No, because if you do, you'll put them out of business.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you can't tax their gross. You have to tax their net, which means you're right back to business deductions. I still think you go back to the Constitution. It says that there shall be no direct tax on anybody. See, that's how you level the playing field and get rid of the corporate advantage, is let's have all have the same advantage, get rid of the direct tax, and then have a VAT tax or a national sales tax apportioned evenly among the states. And I think that will solve your problem, because then they will be able to collect enough revenue to do the things that we need to do, you know, have an army, protect our shores, and whatever. But when you go to any of these other tinkerings, mm-hmm. what starts to happen is you're starting to give them control over the tinkering. And that's where we start getting the uneven playing field. See, what I'm saying, that the corporations would go out of business if they weren't getting special favors from the tax and the
corporate welfare.
And the corporate welfare. See, yeah absolutely. So I think we can agree on that.
Tax code should probably be about, what, half an inch thick?
I don't even think it should be that. I think it should just, you know, I mean.
5 pages?
Oh, man, I'm telling you. I've been doing taxes since 1982, and I've seen tax simplification put in by Reagan, and it was like a nightmare. It's like, simplification, really? This is how you simplify it? And then
deregulation, right? It's adding more laws, calling it
right.
deregulation.
But what inside, though, they exempt themselves. Mm-hmm. And they exempt certain corporations. And then those certain corporations just happen to be, you know, the big corporations that are tied to the Fed.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, I think we got to go to a break here. And this is very lively stuff. I really get into it. So anyway, we'll be back in a minute. This is KCNR 1460, Shasta, Redding, home of the Free Fire Media.
Have you been thinking about installing solar power system for your home or office? Maybe you looked into solar power a couple of years ago and thought it was way too expensive. Hi, I'm Dennis Patterson with West Coast Sustainables, and I have great news. The cost of a solar power system has dropped dramatically in the last 2 years, and the federal tax credits have increased to 30% of the cost of a system. Now is a great time to give solar a closer look. The news is full of warnings about the cost of energy going up soon, and the best way to keep your cost of energy cheap and stable is installing solar power. If you talk to us, we answer all of your questions, explain how solar works, and how it will affect your monthly bill. For a free in-home consultation, please give us a call, 524-9652, or email dennis@westcoastsustainables.com.
Theodore Roosevelt once said, "The highest form of success comes not to the man who desires a mere easy peace, but to the man who does not shrink from danger, from hardship, or from bitter toil, and who, out of these, wins the splendid ultimate triumph." Our success in life depends on the words we choose to live by, and even Mark Twain considered Theodore Roosevelt to be straightforward and sincere. This summer, Five Star Bank has been recognized as the Small Business Administration Lender of the Year for the 21 counties of the Great North Valley. Five Star Bank specializes in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star can be counted on to be at the forefront, helping entrepreneurs build their business and create jobs. Believe in Five Star Bank. Smart people doing good business. If your time is as valuable as your success, visit us at Five Star Bank. Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call 223-6652. Online, fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Come down off your throne. Boy, that's an oldie. That's Blind Faith. Can't Find My Way Back Home. I remember when I actually couldn't find my way back home when I was listening to that song. That's been a while ago.
Good times.
Yeah. That was the great Steve Winwood. Anyway, so we were just talking about this. Let's get into this disinformation crap a little bit, because I think it's coming from both sides of the aisle. I mean, you know, we hear Fox is liars, and I'll tell you, this is what I think everybody should do. And I did this when the Tea Party first got together. This is what I did. I DVR'd every single news story off on the major news at the same time slots, you know, whether it's 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock. And I did this for months. So I had DVR, MSNBC, Fox News, all of them. And what I come to the conclusion was that none of them told the same stories. And depending on which side of the aisle you were on.
It's called spin.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, they all have different corporate interests.
Absolutely. And they have interest in keeping us at odds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because, very much.
And that's the issue, I think, because what's going on is that it's like if you're listening to and we talked about this article in the paper and stuff, and I don't want to get into particulars, but one guy showed me a New Yorker as an article on the Koch brothers funding, you know,
the Tea Party.
Mm-hmm. Well, I happen to know that that's not true as a fact.
For the local Tea Party.
Okay. I mean, and there's no speculation here.
Sure.
Okay. And so, and his cite was from the New Yorker. And I basically what I said was that's like citing Putin, you know, that's like saying the Democratic Party is being funded by Putin because you read it in Pravda. I mean, that's, but the point I'm making isn't, this is a good example. The point I'm making is it's on both sides of the aisle.
Sure.
It's not that MSNBC lies, and it's not that Fox lies. It's that they both lie.
Absolutely. And I would say, you know, I'm wearing my Democracy Now! T-shirt here because I thought I had to wear it to a Tea Party program. But I would say there is great non-corporate media that's available, even here in Reading. There's Link TV. There's Free Speech TV, which doesn't take any money from any corporations. It's like PBS used to be. You know,
I agree.
They're funded by their members, by the people that watch their shows.
I just about quit watching TV except for entertainment. I get almost every bit of my information off the internet now. The hardest thing is to find those trusted sources that you can kind of believe to a certain end. And again, everything you have to take with a grain of salt and do your own homework and make your own analysis on.
Absolutely. You've got to wonder, you know, what the interest is of the messenger.
Absolutely, that's the deal. And right now, what we've got is we've got a worldwide, in my opinion, collapse of the banking system coming. Which, you know, and my focus in this program is to try to get everybody prepared for that. And in order to do that, we got to examine the issues and the real problems. I think that we're going into right now we've been deflating, but I think we're going to be going into a hyperinflation as these guys try to print their way out of it. And that's not good for anybody, whether you're on the Democratic or the Republican or the Libertarian or whatever stripe you happen to be wearing, you know.
Sure.
And that's my biggest concern is that everybody needs to really reach across the aisle and talk here a little bit about the real problem. And that's the problem as I see it. Anyway, what's your take?
I love the metaphor of the rowboat, the safety boat, the lifeboat, which we're all in it. We're all in it together, and it's got a huge hole in the bow. And if we don't quickly find a way to fix, take care of our problem, we're all going to go down together. And we can bicker all the way down about left and right and that kind of a thing. But we're all Americans, and we're all going to be affected equally.
That's the deal, guys, and that's the way I see it, too. Now, I'm not saying that the Tea Party and Occupy Reading are going to join up and, you know, become one
organization. And start hugging trees together. And
I'm telling you, the hugging tree thing ain't going to happen, but I might go chop one down and make some firewood.
Yes, you got to do what you got to do if it's cold outside.
It's only because I get cold in the winter, and that's the way I heat. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm not just going through there chopping trees down, but the, you know, obviously we're joking, but we're not going to agree on everything, but I think this opening up of the channels of communication can do nothing but good, and I'm already seeing benefits from it. Now, there's whack jobs on both sides. I mean, that's the first thing.
Absolutely, and anybody with a camera and a microphone can go out and find them at a Tea Party rally or an Occupy rally.
Absolutely, and that was one of the things I told Mike tonight. I says this is not going to be a gotcha interview. I'm not going to sit here and set you up so I can go gotcha, you know, because that's just dumb. It's immature and it's dumb.
It's divisive. We don't need it in politics, and we don't need it in our communities.
That's one of the reasons that I've been hesitant to even get on the blogs with the local papers, because it's just a big gotcha forum.
Yeah.
I mean,
one person citing an article and giving a URL and slamming the other guy and
yeah,
back
yeah,
and
yeah.
Forth.
Oh, I found something that you made a mistake on. Oh, gotcha. You know, and this. Oh, okay. I found another mistake you made. Gotcha. You know. And
meanwhile, we're all going down.
Meanwhile, prices are going up at the grocery store. We're all running out of our jobs. We're getting foreclosed on.
Yeah,
and it's absolutely. Like, you know, wow. And you're a Democrat. I hate you.
it's petty. And you know, we had a rally just a couple days ago, Saturday at Chase Bank. against corporate greed, if you want to give it a slogan. And we had, I'd say we had about 99% people driving by honking, you know, raised fists, cheering, that kind of thing. We had a couple people that did the opposite of that. And I would say, you know, whether you're on the left or you're on the right, you know, we're here exercising our First Amendment rights.
That's why,
you know, our constitutional rights. And we're only doing it because we love this country.
Well, that's the, as long as we have that as a basis, I think we can solve this problem. Because, you know, I remember the way I kind of look at some of the people on both sides, whatever, I'm going to pick on your side because that's, you know, obviously a little bit of what I see. You know, I got someone talking about, you know, it's about drugs and this. And, you know, you see guys out there smoking pot and this and that. But you know something? A lot of these guys are young people. And you know something? I'll be the first one to admit, you know, when I was 22 years old, I smoked a lot of pot. I think it's wrong. I don't think it's smart. I quit because I thought that I was ruining my health and my life and everything else. So I don't see that as a positive necessarily. But what I'm saying is everybody has to grow up in their own way. And you can't force things down people's throat. It's a freedom issue, in my opinion. And people are going to do things. But that's like saying that on the right side, I mean, that, you know, you're going to go out and run around the hills and camouflage.
And drink a 24 pack with a shotgun. You know, it's like that's not healthy either.
Oh, it's not? So. I didn't know that. Gee, all this time I thought I was doing a healthy activity.
So, you know, you could look on both sides. There's stupidity like
that's,
that.
Absolutely. Well, that's what I'm saying is that we got to quit looking at that kind of stuff and start looking at the stuff that's going to solve the problem, you know. And that's why I think this banking issue is a good place to start, you know, because I personally believe that if everybody understood it, they would understand that if we got rid of this root evil, a lot of these other issues would start to go away.
Absolutely. I would say a lot of the occupiers understand this issue with the Fed. I couldn't count the signs that read end the Fed or destroy the Fed that were out at the rally on Saturday. This is pretty much preaching to the choir for both of us.
Right. Absolutely. But it's kind of good because, you know, I'll have to have you back where we kind of dissect some of the other issues, but I kind of wanted this to be sort of a meeting of the mind, sort of a
this is where you lure me in.
Yeah, a parley where we're on. We got the white flags held up.
Sure.
You know, and as long as yours hasn't got a red star on it, I'm good with that.
Nothing wrong with a little socialism. There were some great socialists.
The problem is, this is where we start part company, is that socialism usually leads to communism and dictatorships, and it doesn't work economically. And what happens is typically when you get to a dictatorship, there's a lot worse problems, and you really can't point to any communists that ended well. I mean, economically,
and capitalists that
or otherwise
are ending well. I mean, I wouldn't say socialism is the answer. You know, we have socialized medicine, we have Medicare, and plenty of people in this country are taking advantage of socialized medicine.
I'm saying is not crony capitalism, but free market capitalism. Here's the definition of it. We haven't been following any free market capitalism for 8 years. Ever since we got the bank and the taxes, that's off the table.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, we became the wealthiest country with the best standard of living, the highest standard of living for everybody across the board through a free market system. It was only when we stopped having a free market system that we started having more and more and more problems. And that's the way I see it. I mean, we can disagree on that. I think that it's the social programs should be left in the private sector because they will take care of it better than the government sector, the public sector.
But the private sector always means a corporation. It's a corporation that does it.
No, I'm not talking about a corporation. I'm talking about churches, social groups. There's a lot of groups out there that have done a lot.
You would put Social Security or healthcare in the hands of a church organization or something?
Well, look at Mercy Medical up here.
Church and state?
It's Catholic Church. Well, that whole thing is not in the Constitution. That's a complete myth. that church and state comes from a letter from Thomas Jefferson to Sam Kirchhoff, and he said that we didn't want the churches and the state mixed. Not that he didn't want religious in the government. He didn't want the government in the religion because the religion was the schools. In other words, he didn't. If you get back to what he was talking about, he didn't want the government teaching our children in the schools because that would become a problem. There's no separation of church and state in the Constitution. Show me where it says. In fact, it says exactly the opposite. It says that the Congress shall make no law to abridge the exercise of free religion. That's the difference.
I wouldn't be comfortable with a religious group controlling any of these programs. Social, you know.
No. You're missing. I'm not saying across the board. Mm-hmm. I'm saying that individual communities, if the wealth was kept locally, would have the kind of charitable organizations, whether it was a church or the United Way or, you know, Ronald McDonald House, would have a lot more funding and would be able to take care of a lot more of those social problems if we weren't being siphoned off by the government and the banking.
But who's to keep those organizations, Ronald McDonald House,
distributing
those funds equally to all people, all
religions?
Well,
again, it's not necessarily equal. Not everybody gets cancer. When we talk about Ronald McDonald, their specific target is kids with cancer. They don't treat anybody but kids with cancer, or like St. Jude's. I mean, there's different organizations that target things. That's the beauty of the American system, is that we would have a lot more of those kind of organizations, again, if we weren't being bled off.
And what if we didn't?
If we didn't have what?
If those didn't exist from without having...
But they do now. Even with a non-capitalist system and a socialist system, we still have them because people always want to fund charitable things because, in general, the American people are a good moral people. They want to help. And, you know, like I fund Ronald McDonald's House because my kid had cancer and I'm trying to help other kids. See, the thing is, when you give it over to the government, that's where the problem starts. Because if you look from there, they don't necessarily have an interest in the charitable aspect of what you're trying to do. They have an interest typically in getting reelected and controlling what you're trying to do. And that's where I see that's where we start to, you know, divide company.
Sure.
So anyway, you know, and again, I don't necessarily want to debate the healthcare issue, but, you know, those are the kind of things that we're going to have trouble with sometimes, you know, when we go into. I'm going to be able to convince you with sound, reasonable, logical arguments that you're wrong at some point. But
I look forward to that.
Anyway, I think we got to go to a break. I'm really enjoying this. This is Mark Kent. This is KCNR 1460, Shasta, Redding, home of the Free Fire Media.
Joining the revolution at Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms is here to provide the finest names in weapons, ammunition, optics, and accessories. We also offer repairs and custom gunsmithing. Bastiani Arms is pleased to announce that we now have in stock the best and largest selection of off-list AR low receivers in the North State. Looking for instruction in hunter safety, concealed carry, or Florida's concealed carry class? Bastiani Arms provides the finest instruction with our NRA-trained instructors. Come check out our in-store product and enjoy the friendly, helpful, and knowledgeable service you'll get with each and every visit. Don't forget to ask Bastiani Arms about their 90-day layaway for your convenience. If you want the best in weapons, service, and shooting supplies, then Bastiani Arms should be your first stop. Satisfaction guaranteed. Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur Lane, open Tuesdays through Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Or call us at 222-8222.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, the very best way to start your day in the North State. Every Monday through Friday from 7 to 9, Carl and Linda Bott bring you what's happening in our community, from politics to entertainment and the issues you care about. If you like what you're hearing, won't you please tell a friend that local live radio is what we're all about? I love my job. Tune in and find out why, right here, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m., on the home of Free Fire Media, KCNR 1460.
They will all
Hey, this is Ernie and Dave with Let's Sell It.
Yeehaw! If you have something you no longer need and having a yard sale, garage sale, or event, join us for Let's Sell It with Ernie and Dave, your radio flea market, every Saturday, 7 to 8 a.m., right here at KCNR 1460 AM. There is no cost to you. That's right. Recycle your no longer needed items.
Yeah, get rid of it right here on the air. Give us a call Saturday mornings, 7 to 8 a.m., 605-4567.
That's cool. I like that. It's Robin Trower, Bridge of Sighs. Anyway, I just wanted to say, Raleigh Sally from the chat box says, thank you, Mike, for being on this show. You are showing how courageous you are.
Well, like I said, I knew Mark before I showed up here, so I knew he wasn't going to skewer me.
Exactly. That's I was kind of counting on that a little bit too.
Yeah, you know? This is, you know, I'm willing to reach out to really anybody if I think that you're somebody who cares about, you know, about our country and is willing to have a civil discussion on the topics and sometimes just agree to disagree.
Absolutely. Right now, I think we need to concentrate on storing food, buying silver.
Yeah, what do you think about silver and gold? I've been buying silver and gold for a long time.
I would be buying silver as much as you could lay your hands on right now, because silver is going to do some phenomenal things on rates of returns, because it has been manipulated by the bankers. J.P. Morgan has been manipulating the silver market. In fact, there's several lawsuits filed against them right now. They have been suppressing the price of silver because it's the canary in the coal mine, as well as gold, but silver much more, because they've naked shorted the market, basically counterfeited over the market with paper they don't have. So if you're investing, the first thing is make sure you have physical gold and silver and not paper, EFTs, sure, and that. But also with the industrial demand, people don't realize that they've actually used 30 billion ounces of silver up in industry in the last 30 years that's not recoverable. So silver above ground right now is actually 7 times more rare than gold. This has all been suppressed because J.P. Morgan has a dog in the hunt, but it's coming to light. So silver is going to have a phenomenal rate of return. Both of them are precious metals that have a hedge against inflation.
Sure.
And I would, so, you know, if
you, portable wealth.
Portable wealth. Yep. Yeah. And they're intrinsic. You know, they don't get devalued because somebody can create some out of thin air.
Sure.
A bunch of different stuff there. The other thing I would be definitely worried about is food right now, because the first thing that happens in a collapse of the currency, whether it's inflationary or deflationary, is the food stores all empty up. And it's just like a Katrina thing. I mean, they all empty out. You go back to the Weimar Republic in Germany, Zimbabwe. There's numerous examples of devaluing the currency when they put themselves in this economic loop like they have. And if people aren't prepared, then what happens is you're in real trouble. And so
have plenty of guns and plenty of food stored away.
Plenty of food, guns, silver and gold. And I would also definitely recommend that everybody be reaching out to their neighbors and figuring out who your friends are, because a lot of people that are depending on the government to take care of them are going to be in deep trouble if they haven't prepared, because that's going to be part of the devaluation. So that's why I say don't depend on government, depend on yourself.
You need to go get a bunch of 50-pound bags of beans and.
Well, it's not far fetched. I'm telling you.
No, I don't think it is.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's part of our program, is to get prepared, start a neighborhood watch, do those type of things. I had a couple of quotes here that I thought were really good that I pulled off here. Actually, you're not. That's last week, so I know who you are. Anyway, here's a quote. The money powers prey upon the nation in times of peace and conspire against it in times of adversity. The banking powers are more despotic than a monarchy, more insolent than an autocracy. I don't know how you say it. Autocracy?
Autocracy.
Autocracy. There you go. Thank you. More insolvent than an autocracy, more selfish than a bureaucracy. They denounce as public enemies all who question their methods or throw light on their crimes. I have two great enemies, the Southern Army in the front of me and the bankers in the rear. rear. Of the two, the one at the rear is my greatest foe. Corporations have been enthroned in an era of corruption, and high places will follow. The money power of the country will endeavor to prolong its reign by working on the prejudices of the people until their wealth is aggregated in the hands of a few and the republic is destroyed. That's Abraham Lincoln. I think that that just really hits it home. And it's just amazing that he knew about these guys way back when. The founding fathers knew about these guys way back when. And so we have to realize that this is not something new. The debasement of the currency has been going on since Athens. That was the first time we actually had a hyperinflation, was in Athens, Greece, when they started debasing the coins to pay for government spending. And that's what's going on right now. The government would be restrained if they didn't have this power, because they wouldn't be able to keep borrowing and printing from the Fed, which would restrain their spending and would keep them in check, so they would be just kept to the things that they're supposed to be doing and not trying to please everyone with all these programs. Now, with that, the value of goods and services, what happens is, if you look at the first 150 years, because we had a gold standard, what happened was that our gold and silver became more and more valuable. In other words, it used to cost you, 10 cents for a loaf of bread. Now, what's a loaf of bread? $5. See, so what happens when you have prosperity in a free market, in my opinion, is that everybody's standard of living goes up and the prices go coming down. When you have a central bank, it's exactly the opposite. Everybody's standard of living goes down and prices go up. And that's why we're in the problem that we're in now. So, I don't know. You got anything to add to that, Mike?
Let's end the Fed.
End the Fed. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly where we got to go, is in the Fed. Yeah. So that's something that we're definitely going to be able to agree upon. I don't know what else I have here in my little bag of tricks here. There are some things going on in the European Union this last week. It looks to me like the euro is falling apart. And so get ready, guys. I think that we haven't got a long time to go before we start really seeing some contagion heading over to the United States. You guys try to get out to a Reading Tea Party. On Monday night, I'm going to be having a question and answer forum of emergency preparedness, all the things that we talked about tonight. And like I say, it's going to be, I'm not going to be just doing a speech. It's going to be question and answers from the audience, so that if you're not sure about inflation or deflation, or you want to know more about this redistricting. No, it's not redistricting. It's realignment. I'm sorry, where they're letting all the prisoners out. Excuse me. We're going to be going over a lot of those kinds of stuff. Have you got any events that you want to announce while you're here, Mike?
Just that we have a general assembly meeting this Wednesday. It's going to be at Angelo's Pizza downtown at 11:30. And so we've been doing that on a weekly basis. We're probably going to move them until later in the afternoon or early evening for people that are working. But really, that's about it.
Okay, good. Good. Like I say, I didn't want to cover too much tonight, because I wanted this to be sort of a meeting of the minds and have a level playing field, as much as I could possibly have a level playing field with these subjects, because they are very it's hard not to be a little emotional and deep-seated in your beliefs.
It's called passion.
Absolutely.
And everybody, more people should have that. I would say, before most of your listeners, I'm sure, are going to be, righter leaning than myself or Tea Party members, that type of thing, which, understandable. I would say to both sides, left and right, before you throw a stone or have something mean to say about either side of the aisle, reach a hand out, talk to your neighbor, discuss the issues. And agree to disagree, and at the very least, be civil, because in the end, that's the only thing that is going to bring about solutions for our country.
I agree. So with that, maybe the next time I can get you to come on here, maybe we can talk prior to, and we'll actually say, okay, let's talk about this or this or this, and that
That'd
way we both can be prepared on those particular subjects.
Absolutely. I'd love to do it.
Okay, cool. Very good. I'm not sure how much time we have left. We got a couple of minutes, so I'll go through a few things here. Remember, get to the Tea Party every Monday night, 6 p.m., Bonnie View Baptist. Make sure that you listen to We the People on We the People Radio on Sunday mornings, 8 to 10, and every Sunday night at 6 p.m. is Sovereign Minds. That'd be us. Start becoming more self-reliant no matter what side of the aisle you're on. Going into economic turmoil, you want to be prepared as possible. You can make the difference in your neighborhood and with your friends. And, the more educated you get on these issues, the better off you're going to be. Try to put together a 72-hour emergency bag for each family member. Store some food, get some silver, gold, preferably silver. I'm telling everybody, get out of the stock market. It's about ready to crash, guys. It's all skewed, and it's gonna get ugly when it does crash here, because they're lying to us on the media. They're not telling us the truth. All you have to do is look at the fundamentals, and the fundamentals aren't good. Employment isn't going up. There's a bunch of things here. Anyway, I have a closing quote here. I don't know if I said that on the air, but I'll say it again. This is from Benjamin Franklin. Only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. Okay. So, I think you're all kind of getting that. And I don't know. You got anything to add, Mike? And then I think we're out of here. We got 30 seconds.
Not really. Thanks for having me on, Mark.
All right. Thanks for coming in, Mike. Totally appreciate it.
Likewise.
And absolutely. And we'll see you guys next week. And this is Sovereign Mind Radio, 1460 KCNR, home of the Free Fire Media.
It's rolling down tracks, once leading to somewhere, like a broken down train. The stones fall from heaven, hear the rumble of war.
Thank you for listening to KCNR 1460 AM, the home of Free Fire Media. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Lucera. The Indy racing world in mourning tonight after a horrific crash at the Las Vegas Indy 300 claims the life of driver Dan Weldon.
IndyCar is very sad to announce that Dan Weldon has passed away from unsurvivable injury.
IndyCar CEO Randy Bernard, the 15-car pileup also injuring two other drivers. After a memorial lap, drivers opted to halt the race. Weldon, one of the circuit's best-known drivers, leaves behind a wife and two young sons. A national memorial to Dr. Martin Luther King dedicated today in Washington.
The ceremony included remarks from many veterans of the civil rights movement and a recording of Dr. King's famous I Have a Dream speech. But President Obama told the crowd that progress for African Americans did not come from words alone.
Progress was purchased through enduring the smack of billy clubs and the blast of fire hoses. It was bought with days in jail cells and nights of bomb threats.
The president added that as King